with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grilling Guys each and every Saturday on the Michigan Talk Network. Check us out on Facebook, / The Grilling Guys. Hit us on our website, thegrillingguys.com. A lot of great information out there, and we're interested. We posted a couple questions today. And speaking about Facebook, Colonel Denny Gillum's still with us, and he put a Facebook question out there. What was that, Denny?
Well, today in history, I'm big into history. In 1943, the U.S. Wartime Office of Price Administration said that standard Frankfurters would be replaced during World War II by victory sausages consisting of a mixture of meat and soy meal. So my question on Facebook, Bob, was, how well did they grill?
Well, it sounds to me like a Vienna, because they put different forms of meals and stuff in all hot dogs anyway. But certain Viennas have like milk in them. Baby formula,
Dang.
Stuff like that.
My question on Facebook was, do you think Bob will know the answer? Now we know.
Yeah.
You the man.
Thanks for joining us, Colonel.
Yeah.
So, Jop, you know, last year this time we were up at the Sturgeon Festival.
Right.
And you bowed out of that for some reason. I think you had a honey weekend getaway to probably Cozumel or something.
Yeah, right.
Like that.
It was all of that. Yeah.
And right. I ended up taking the Old World Olive Press people, Corey and Shasta, and Rick Serrata from Cumulus. And we had a great time. And we didn't book that this year because we thought we were going to the I-500 and... You know, we really really just messed up on that totally. But the Sturgeon Festival at Black Lake is going to go on the first weekend in February. And we're not going to be there, but I highly recommend taking a look at that place, going up there, spending the day up there, if nothing else. Watching somebody spear a sturgeon is truly an amazing feat. These things are as big as Jop.
Yeah, they're like freshwater whales, man. You know, they're 70, 80 years old, and there's only one lake in the state where they're inland. A lot of times they're in the Great Lakes, but this is an inland lake, Black Lake, in the northeast part of the state, almost up by the bridge. And for a two-day season, and they only let them take six of these things out of the lake. So it's a huge event when somebody comes in with one. Bob, you were talking about that they actually take a chainsaw and cut a big strip out of the ice so they can pull these things out. They're
so big. We were in a 30-foot shanty last year.
Yeah.
30 feet long.
Kind of cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
And the hole was probably 3-4 foot wide and about 8 feet long.
Yeah.
And then they're using these great big spears, and the thing just comes cruising below, and they just spear chuckers, man. That's very cool.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, that's something to do that's fun this coming up in the winter. You know, there's a Kalamazoo. There's a beer fest for the next week. It kicks off today. We always like to support our listeners in that area. They've got a beer festival that's going on. Lots of great microbreweries down there, including our friends at Arcadia, are putting in a second location of their brewery over in Kalamazoo. So I know that's going to be open here in the spring. It's not yet, but Kalamazoo's becoming, you know, Grand Rapids is the beer city, but Kalamazoo's right behind it. There's one in Traverse City in the middle of February, a beer festival. There's one here in Grand Rapids. They're on the east side of the state as well. You know, Michigan is a microbrew state, and it's a cool thing to be part of that whole culture.
And we've got WKMI 1360 in Kalamazoo that we're on down there. My son goes to Western, and that college has gotten to be a monster. It's huge.
Cool.
I had no idea how big Western is. Now I run down there and see him or haul him some stuff, and it's like this place is ginormous. Well, yeah. Ferris, you know, where you and I went, same way.
Yeah, they're growing. It's
cool.
They
have really gotten to be big schools. But Western in particular, I think, has made Kalamazoo this college town. It's like a gigantic Ann Arbor, you know, because the whole town kind of surrounds that campus. And I think Bell's and Arcadia, and there's another brew pub downtown. I think these guys are going to make a really good living off of all those college students.
Yeah, they didn't have microbrews when I went to college, man. You didn't have to.
You had Pabst.
Right, exactly. And you bought it by the case for $4, and, man, you had an instant party. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about skewered food, because you can do that fish, maybe not sturgeon, but that's a great way for a thicker, a little more dense fish, like maybe a shark steak or something like that, or a piece of tuna. You can cube it up and put it on a skewer. And one of the reasons that I like that is that there's always stuff with it.
Yeah.
You know, you're cooking
exactly.
a kind of a meal all together when you put a skewer together.
I think I agree with you, and I like skewering because a couple things. Number one, it gives you a really cool presentation when you bring that food out on the plate. If you're using the little skewers especially, you can fit them on a plate.
Right.
And, you know, you put a couple of those across a bed of rice or some pasta or something like that, and whoever you're feeding, they get all excited because you got this nice multicolor presentation, little char, little smoke coming off it, you know, and some nice chunks of meat and some veggies, fruit, whatever else is on there. Also, it makes it kind of easy to grill small pieces of anything because you're not flipping individuals. You're just grabbing each end and spinning over, you know, 10 of them at a crack. You can also get skewer racks where you can put all the skewers in a rack and set it on your grill and then just flip the whole thing at once. That's really nice because it keeps you from losing little bits and pieces off your
kebabs. Couple tips when you're skewering. If you're using wood skewers, soak them in water for at least an hour or two. And the reason is real simple. They catch on fire where there's not meat or vegetable or fruit on the skewer. It's exposed to the flame. And they'll catch on fire. And the worst thing you want to do is burn your skewer in half. One, it ruins your presentation. And two, it makes a mess of your grill because now stuff's falling all over. So make sure that you use those. The second one is on smaller or more delicate items, shrimp, for example, or oftentimes I do this with mushrooms, too, is I'll use a double skewer rather than a single skewer. And the reason is those type of foods, when you try to pick them up and turn them, they'll spin on the skewer. So it's hard for you to get the second side or the third or the fourth side if you've got square items grilled. But if you put two of them in there, then things can't spin. You flip the two skewers over at once, and you're getting you're grilling on both sides then, and stuff's not spinning around. Because if you've ever done that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You pick up the skewer and you try to flip it, and the shrimp are heavy on one end, and they spin down, and you don't ever get to the other side.
Shrimp in particular want to do that. They tend to want to stick to the grill anyway.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little something I did. We had our family party, our last one, last weekend, right after the show, and I did some shrimp appetizers on the grill on skewers. Really, really simple. Just seasoned them with a little spicy rub, just a dusting of it. But what I did is I took some of that Old World Olive Press balsamic, and it was a cinnamon pear balsamic. And they sell it there at the Old World Olive Press. They got four stores around the state. There's one in your area. But basically, I reduced that down. And all that is pour that in a saute pan and cook off about half of the liquid. And then I used it for a glaze. And what it does is it gets a little thick and a little bit sticky, but that cinnamon pear on top of those shrimp was wonderful. Easy, easy technique, guys. I just boiled that down and it became a little thick. When it cools, it got a little like syrup that thick. And then I just brushed it on there with a basting brush, any one you got for your grill. And it had just a fabulous, nice texture. Put a little glaze on there. They got shiny. Mm-hmm. It was just a really cool presentation for an appetizer.
You know, another thing for skewers, I like using the metal ones.
Yeah.
And I get the ones with just a little bent metal end on it.
Yeah.
Because they're flat metal, and when you slide that flat metal through your meat, it won't be round. You won't have that spinning problem you're talking about. But the other thing is, I have a bunch of old ones with the wooden handles. That just doesn't work because the wood, you end up frying the wood after a while.
Tip for the metal skewers, they get hot. Don't grab them on the ends with your fingers or you're going to get burned fingers, man. I've done it. I know that that's coming from firsthand experience. So.
You can throw that into the fourth segment with the grilling safety tips.
Yeah, so coming up, we're going to talk with one of our buddies from the South. His name's Max Folda. He's going on a hog hunt, and we're going to learn a little bit about how to cook hog because there's guys up here doing this as well. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. Stick with us. We're going to break down a hog.
This is the Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.